Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Coffee Talk. If you've just joined, Coffee Talks are the short in-between episodes where we read your listener-submitted stories, hang out with friends, talk about witchy pop culture, or chat with you about what is going on in our personal practices.
And if you want to be featured on Coffee Talk, email us at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com, or you can send us your submission on our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com. You can send us your tips, your ghost stories, or any kind of funny story you think the community would love to hear. Be sure to let us know if you can share your name, if you prefer us not to. Your social media usernames are also a great way to get credit.
We also are taking voicemail submissions now. We have done for 2 seasons. I don't know why I haven't updated. Guys, somebody should update the copy. So we are taking voicemail submissions. As a reminder, these do have a 3-minute cap, so just call us back and we'll smash them all together. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, it is 351-207-0799. And this week, we are joined by the gorgeous Marshall. Marshall, how are you?
Oh, thank you. I'm good. How are you?
clearly delayed on the copy. Somebody should really bring that into 2026. That is embarrassing.
Especially
you
got to
get your people on it.
We're like, I got to get my people on it. Not updating stuff. It's just the state of the world.
First of all, I am not type A at all. People always say, Rowan, you're so chill. You're so relaxed.
So chill. Okay. I don't know who's saying this, but okay.
Many people are saying this. Maria, are you suggesting that you don't feel that way?
No. Put us in a room. We'll
she
organize everything.
We're learning a lot. Guys, this is the end of Coffee and Cauldrons. Maria wants me dead. Anyway, aside from that, you know, hate crime that's happening here live on our episode, Marshall, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here talking about my new book.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you to be talking about it, too. For those of you who are watching or listening and they have no idea who the heck this gorgeous man is, would you please introduce yourself to our beautiful listeners?
Absolutely. Hello, everyone. My name is Marshall, Witch of Southern Light on all social media. I am a Texas-based queer witch. I am an author and a hairstylist, and I've written 3 books, Cunning Words, A Grimoire of Tales and Magic, The Red Mother, and now I have just recently published The Diary of an American Witch. It's a literal diary that I kept for 13 months documenting my life, my magical practice, spells gone wrong, and really influential memories that I think shaped me for who I am as a person, as a human, and of course, as a witch.
Yeah, actually, I love books like that, especially from magical practitioners. I think a lot of books are missing that like personal touch when it comes to, because our practices are so personal and so unique, and it just offers a unique insight to all of our magical practices. So thank you for so much for putting another one out there like that. It was very beautiful.
Thank you.
Of course.
I love that. And I also feel like too, we like as a community, we have rightfully wanted books that have things like long lists of works cited. Because, of course, we all get inspired by things. There's historical context. Like, we should be having that. But then the problem is we've kind of swung to the far other side where it's taken a lot of the personal, UPG and just experiences out of it. Mm-hmm. And it becomes just these, like, lawnmower instruction manuals on how to do witchcraft.
handbooks of the recently deceased modern edition.
And there leaves no room for like personal interpretation of things either. Like the author's like, this is how to do it, and it's the only way to do it.
It's the only way. I saw it on TikTok.
Well, you know, there were some great opportunities here for me to kind of experiment and write down those experiments and write down the outcomes of those experiments. Some of them, you know, went full on into fruition, giving me exactly what I wanted. Some of them had some weird side effects or not necessarily side effects, but like outcomes I wasn't expecting. And then I was able to kind of look back at the spell and then fine tune it, get more specific, recreate it from with a little bit more foreknowledge. I will say this is probably where it would be a good idea for me to say doing divination before spellcraft is always a good idea. They can guide you a lot more than your mistakes, because it's nicer not to have to make them in the first place.
Well, writing them down
but making
so
mistakes
perfect.
Is fun.
It definitely can be. The outcomes can surprise you, and sometimes surprises can be a good thing.
Sometimes. No, Robin and I are
sometimes
always talking.
You're like, why is my entire life falling apart in this moment?
Robin and I are always talking about how important like keeping like a journal about like even writing in your book of shadows about like how your spells are going, how they're progressing, especially if they're new. If you're trying out something new, you want to know how to like fix it or how to.
We're getting really to the root of spare, and this is true chaos magic at its finest. Or not true, that's not fair to say, but like original OG chaos magic, right?
But I really liked how like your book, it looked into the complexity of identity and history and finding our personal power in them and using them as like knowledge within our own personal practices. For those who haven't read your book yet, can you share a little bit about this?
Yeah, absolutely. When I started writing this book, I mean, like literally the opening line is I've had an epiphany. And then it goes, dot, 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 let me explain. There's this momentum I wanted to kind of get where I got the opportunity to share my own personal experiences, to write them down in a way where it was a day to day. You know, I wrote about like 3-4 days a week, sometimes for a period of 13 months. And when I started, I had no idea what was going to come over the next 13 months. I didn't think about the fact that in October of 2023, over the next year, we were going to be getting into an election year. I didn't think about the fact that at one point we were going to have a solar eclipse for the first time in my life in my hometown. I didn't think about the fact that a good friend of mine was going to have heart surgery and I was going to do healing magic for him during this process and how I was going to do it. I didn't know any of these things were going to happen as they were going to. But I figured whatever was going to happen, I'm going to write it and I'm going to document it. When I first started writing this, I was very inspired by The Diary of a Witch by Sybil Leek. But the first thing I noticed when I read it was this isn't a diary. It's a memoir, which I do think is really important. But at the same time, I kind of wanted a diary. I wanted to read a diary of a witch. And by the time I finished writing it, because so many things had happened from my perspective as an American and what was going on in my own country as well as the world, I realized it couldn't just be, you know, a carbon copy sort of title. I remember thinking like, well, the book's out of print. You can't get it anymore from any bookstores unless it's secondhand or sold privately. So I could probably use the title. It shouldn't be a problem. It's more modern. It's been over like 60 years. But then I realized I felt like I needed to be more specific because it really was an American perspective. It was my perspective, which was so different from hers as a British witch in the 1960s. But I also felt as I was writing, there were a lot of memories that I feel like shaped me as a person who I am today that I wanted to share in here. Memories of what it was like coming out to my mom at 13 years old. Memories of the first time I discovered that witchcraft is real. back when I was 12 at Walden's Books. There are times where I remember my initial separation from the church and how traumatic it was for my family, and then the way that it kind of split me and my mom, and then how my mom ended up splitting from the church when I came out as a gay person. And it turned into a mixture of magical practice that I was currently doing, as well as life events that reminded me of things that shaped me. Mm-hmm. And I felt it kind of created this amalgamation of a diary and a memoir kind of all rolled into one, where you got to spend a year of my life with me while also getting to know the person whose words you're reading and what created them.
Because
I think a lot about the books that we read. I mean, it's literally an entry in the diary itself, what I wrote on the back, you know, who are the witches whose books we read? Like, who was Raymond Buckland? Who was Scott Cunningham? Who is Silver Ravenwolf? Who are these people? And some of them aren't with us today to share that, but I am. So I thought, why don't I take this time to share who I am? Mm-hmm. So if people are reading my books, if you're following me on social media, you know, you should know who you're listening to. You should know whose opinions you're taking in and considering if they match up with your own. I think that one of the worst things I've experienced, not one of the worst, that's kind of overdramatic, but something that's very disappointing for all of us, mm-hmm. is we fall in love with an author or a book series or a director or an actor. We fall in love with this persona who gave us something out of their art that we love. Mm-hmm. And then we find out about them.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking, mm-hmm. and it's devastating because we gave them so much of our
idols.
Power. Yeah, it
yeah.
really is. And I wanted people to know who they were reading, mm-hmm. so I figured that was important.
Yeah. I really, like, just throughout your book, like, all the historical things that, like, are happening throughout the book, like, we don't really think about it, like, when we're, like, living our day-to-day lives, but, like, history is literally happening now, no matter how horrible and destructive and gross it is, like, you know, it's worth recording. And, you know, from the perspective of a witch and even of a queer person, like, living, it's a lot, but it needs to be recorded and jot down. So
yeah. I agree.
So speaking of being a queer person and a queer person who's in Texas of all places, of all places, do you have any advice that you could give people that are also aligning in some sort of ether that you can kind of relate to, that are witches and in similar environments?
Absolutely. Like this is the South. I'm in the South. I'm in Texas. It is the Bible Belt. But at the same time, we have these wonderful pockets of community. You are not alone. There's a huge amount of queer people, of marginalized people, of magical practitioners, of people who are, I mean, I'm just putting out saying, people who are not GOP brainwashed. Like, we exist, and we are deeply gerrymandered into not seeming like we have a voice down here, but we really do. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful and lucky enough to live in the gayborhood of my city. I'm surrounded by a queer community that we have slowly over decades built. But not everyone has that close to them. Mm-hmm. So I want you to know we do exist. Some of the more populated and denser cities, they're so much more diverse than many of the rural communities who don't see that much diversity. The worldview gets very, very small. The perspective gets very echo chambery. Mm-hmm. So just know that if you're feeling like you don't match up with the echo chamber around you, mm-hmm. there are so many of us who are here to be in community with you. I don't have a heavy witch community in my own personal life, so I leaned on the internet and the friends and community that I made along the way. Mm-hmm. So between in-person, there's wonderful queer communities, mm-hmm. In Austin and Houston and Dallas and San Antonio and El Paso, even in Galveston. Actually, I went to this really great drag bar down in Galveston, which had two gay bars. One of them had a fantastic Dolly Parton impersonator. And I'm just saying, it may feel like you're surrounded in red, but I promise you, you cut us a little bit and we will start bleeding purple a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really like that about your book, like kind of like the dressing, like being a witch, like in the South, and how like a bunch of your friends just don't get it. I think that's a lot of like witches, like, you know, being around, especially in the South, because I'm in South Carolina. So
I live in a very red area.
Yeah, you do.
It's not the South.
It feels like
I
the
live
South.
In very red. It's very Southern coded. Even though we're in California. And I found that when I started putting myself out there for like finding community, so like when I started making Craft Coven and stuff like that, the people for me found me. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like,
people are hungry for community.
They're starving. They're not just hungry. They're malnourished. They're dying. Malnourished. They are like needing an IV drip of community stat. And when you start putting yourself out there and you start actually like looking for the community will find you and it will make itself known around you. I mean, even like Craft Coven, it's a crafting group filled with mostly women who come from all walks of life, but we all somehow are blue. Like every single person in this little red town that comes is blue. Mm-hmm. And we somehow talk about the paranormal or witchcraft or similar, like, every time. And I don't know how it happens. Like, I don't know, like, how it manages to manifest every time, but it does. And it's because, you know, I put it out there and the people found me.
Yeah. I agree.
I think it's nice. I think more people need to have that kind of leap of faith to just, I don't know, trust that your people will find you if you try to build it, you know?
Yeah.
I think creativity in itself seems to be, this is just like an observation. I feel like creativity in itself, if, like crafting, creating something, being mm-hmm. inspired and putting it into some form of art, takes an open mind in the first place to really enjoy it, to really, mm-hmm. You know, the thing is you don't even have to be good at it. You just have to like it. Yeah. That's the thing about it. Like you could be a great finger painter, but the thing is to find the beauty and joy in finger painting, you have to have an open mind. You have to be mm-hmm. open to different perspectives and walks of life. And I feel like when it comes to artistry in general, that just kind of makes sense. I can see why it drew in a lot of blue people to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also feel like creative people at a baseline also need to be able to be willing to have the play mentality, the, you know, embracing the childhood, embracing that sort of creativity and
being curious more than being right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And a lot of people, I'm not speaking for all people who are conservative, but a lot of conservatives have an innate fear of being perceived as childish or being perceived as like going against the social grain mm-hmm. and doing all those things are something that you need to be truly creative. So
yeah.
And good at witchcraft. Yeah. One girl's opinion.
Speaking of like being creative, you said like you wrote this while you were writing The Red Mother, and journaling is like such an amazing tool to like developing your ideas and like creativity. Like everyone has like specific like journaling habits or anything that they'd like to do in order to keep it going. Like, do you have anything like any tips or tricks for like witches who also want to develop that particular habit?
You know, I was able to carve out a time that on a regular basis I could write. And for some people, that's really easy. For some people, it's hard. I know all of us live in really busy times. Mm-hmm. You know, some of us are working multiple jobs. We may be parents. There are just so many things going on in our lives. The idea of sitting down at a desk and writing in a journal sometimes feels like I just don't have time for that. I found a time that was kind of halfway empty in the first place. I write on the elliptical. So every time I go to the gym, when I get on the elliptical, I write in the little notes app of my phone and mm-hmm. I just kept a whole file that was the diary. I just called it the diary. Mm-hmm. And then underneath that file was subfiles of like October. November, December, and I would just fill it up till the month was over, then create a new subfile underneath. Mm-hmm. So because I had that 30 minutes multiple times per week, listen, I cannot get on the elliptical and just stare into space looking at music. I just, my mind can't do that. I used to actually watch like Netflix or series or stuff while I was on there. Mm-hmm. And then when I started, you know, my Witch of Southern Light Instagram account, I would make posts. That just became the time every morning that I would, you know, get on Canva or just write out the caption for my post. And I just got very used to spending every morning before work writing the caption for my post and then scheduling it to go out at 9 a.m. It just became a really easy habit to do. And so when I started the diary, I actually cut back on posting a lot and instead focused on making sure that I spent that 30 minutes writing in my diary about what was going on in my life. And sometimes when I was out and about, I would just be like, ooh, this is a good topic to write in the diary. And then I'd text myself. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept this running text stream of ideas or movie suggestions or topics or things that have happened that I want to refer back to. So finding that time is great. Now, the way I wrote it was literally a, you know, October 19th, 2023, moon phase, such and such. Mm-hmm. Dear diary. Like it was very dear diary. Today I met dear a boy. Diary.
Mood apathetic. Those are the best ones. Okay. I'm here for it. That's like nostalgic and I love it. But go on.
Absolutely. But I mean, like you can also bullet journal. I do love like, a bullet journal of lists, things that poetry or lines that were really important to me, quotes. It doesn't always have to be a dear diary moment. It can also be I'm documenting impactful things in my life, as simple or as complex as they might be. I know when Olivia was visiting me down here in Texas, she had this like little sketchbook, and sometimes you know, we'd be, you know, chilling or having conversation and we'd be talking and one of us might say something and then she just would pull it out and write it down and continue. It didn't interrupt anything, but she just recognized an impactful moment or a little, we were out at a local venue and she was like, that's really cool. I want to draw that. And so, you know, she just kind of sketched something really quick and it doesn't have to always be as involved as a daily diary entry. It can also just be just, you know, impactful moments to you.
I like that. Also, not to like hijack with what you just said, but I found this on the World Wide Web. I'm pretty sure somebody recommended it to me originally, but if you are somebody who struggles with finding time in the day to like do stuff, like to write, because like I write books obviously, so I'm a parent and all these things, it's a little timer and you, how do I turn this on? But you just like, you turn it to the number you want it to be on and then it's just a countdown and you just go, okay, I'm gonna write for 5 minutes. Everyone can find 5 minutes in their day.
That's great.
Yeah.
And dictation is great too. Like just get on the notes app of your phone and then just press the voice speak and talk. You can always edit it later. Don't worry about that now. Just talk about what's going on in your mind.
Unless
stream
you're
of
me
consciousness.
Who accidentally sends their agent an entire chapter that was unedited voice to text.
Oh, no.
And when I tell you, I wanted to crawl in a hole and pass away when she sent me an email back being like, hey girl, what is this? I was like, I'm a professional.
Whoops.
Yikes. I am so embarrassed. I have not even looked at the chapters I sent her yet because I'm just like, I never want to relive that. That's so embarrassing. So embarrassing. Anyway, fun little thing. Okay. So we have one more question for you and then I think we'll probably wrap it up from here because obviously it's a coffee talk and we don't want to keep you too long. We don't want to keep our lovely audience too long either because they already are sick of listening to us yap for an hour every single week. So because witchcraft is something that is innately political, and for those who are also like queer or minority members, this book in general really explores that. And I guess the question that we have for you is, on a personal level, how do you feel like your experiences have impacted your outlook for the book?
When you say my outlook for the book.
So because the book is obviously your diary, it's your perspectives, et cetera, and you're including things like, you know, your magic and the things that you're doing and just everything, because it's a diary, right? Because of your like personal, where you live in the world, who you are, like how you identify, how do you feel like that? What was that?
And the witches out there who are like, oh, it's not
political. And the witches out there who are also that way. Like, how do you feel like it has shaped just like your experiences and all the things that you've put in the book?
Oh, no. Okay. Definitely makes more. I gotcha.
Sorry. I could have worded it better. I'm like really pretty, Marshall. I don't have to be smart.
Listen, you are so pretty.
So pretty.
You know, I think that the overall, like if one word could I be used to describe it, I'd say empathetic. Listen, I am a white cis male. So if you can't see me, if you're just listening to this on the podcast, just know I am a white cis male, but I'm also a queer guy living in Texas. So because of coming out very early in life, because I found myself experiencing marginalization at very, very tumultuous moments of adolescence, it deeply shaped me as a person in being empathetic towards other people and other demographics of marginalization. One of the biggest things I want to say that I feel like as an adult now I can look back on is recognizing that just because something doesn't affect me doesn't mean I shouldn't care. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is a huge shaper for me, because I've seen the way that, listen, I'm not a woman, but I can 100% empathize and sympathize with the marginalization of women. I consider myself a feminist, I'm not a woman, but because I can see the plight. When I talk about queer marginalization, I speak from personal experience. When I speak with other people who are sharing their marginalizations, you know, it's their time to share and it's my time to listen. Mm-hmm. So it really felt with this book that this was my time to share. And for people who aren't part of the queer community, it's a great opportunity for you to look through the eyes of a queer person living through this to experience what it feels like. You know, my first experiences of a crush were not happy moments. They were scary moments because I wasn't crushing on the person who the gender I was supposed to be. You know, my first experience in spirituality or the church is not one of welcoming, but one of the thoughts you're having inside are bad. And if you keep having them, you're going to go to hell. Like sometimes these things don't get spoken about very much, especially, you know, unless it's in a protest, unless it's in a large generalization, and the way that I got to with this opportunity share a lot of those memories that I had growing up. The final moment I decided I'm leaving the church. The final moment my mom decided she was leaving.
That's really impactful because when it's not just about us, but people around us, that is big. That's profound.
And you can see the way it starts affecting the people in your life. I'm so lucky that I was born into the family that accepted me and who watched on, as the world either did or didn't and moved with me instead of moving with the world. So many other queer people do not have that. Mm-hmm. And I think the intersectionality that has with witchcraft is also very true, because I had a very different experience coming out as a witch than I did coming out as a gay person. I think a lot of other people who may not be queer, but maybe they are Wiccan or pagan or are looking into alternative spirituality practices, they might be having some of these conversations with their family or their friends. And I do hope people that read this who haven't thought through those perspectives, who haven't sat and said, oh, wow, like, you know, I haven't had that experience, but I had something kind of similar because of my personal marginalization, because I'm a woman, because I'm indigenous, because I'm a person of color. You could be any of these things. And we, as people living sometimes on the edges of society, have so much more power when we can kind of join together and listen to each other's experiences. This book gave me that opportunity to do that and to allow people to see through my POV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I think it's nice. And I think it is a good reminder that we don't have to have experienced the same things in our life as other people to understand them.
To care. It is,
to care.
To care.
Yeah. But also to understand them, because mm-hmm. we don't have to have gone through it to understand someone's perspective. It's, mm-hmm. you know, I talk about this a lot in my day job of people in general tend to get frustrated easily when they look at others and they look to others and they're like, well, this is what I would do. Why aren't you doing it that way? And it's like, well, because we're all unique individuals with unique experiences and we don't have to agree with something to still understand it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To understand why they're doing this. We can still say, I don't like that you're doing that. I don't agree that you're doing that, mm-hmm. but I get it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a popular quote that was going around right now, and it's, I don't know how to explain to you that you should care about other people. It's one of those things where I come across people in real life and I watch the way they say they vote, or the way that they treat other people, or the way they don't even put the grocery shopping cart test, I think, is a great one. Like, I don't know what it's going to take to get mm-hmm. people to understand how important it is that you care about people. You know, I can't convince you to give a shit. But the fact that you don't or won't, it says something to me. And I think, especially in America, which is again why I included American Witch in the title, mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. you know, we live in a capitalist society that is driven on competition, that focuses on individuality so much that we sometimes get so lost in the idea of our individuality that we stop caring about other people, about community, about the village. Everyone wants to be part of a village, but nobody wants to be a villager. Mm-hmm. I wrote this because I wanted to give back to the village that gave to me, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. I learned from so many people. I've learned from you, Robin. I've learned from you, Maria. I've listened to your podcast.
He's literally obsessed with us.
So obsessed with you.
It's sick. It's honestly sick and twisted.
But I wanted to give back. I wanted to give what the community has given to me, because as crazy as an online witch community can be, and we all know it can be a little crazy.
How dare you say that about our community on the worldwide web?
It can be a little eclectic.
Yeah. It can be a little straitjackety sometimes, but that's okay. That's all right.
I wanted to give back. I think about like Silver Ravenwolf and Scott Cunningham and Frankie and Olivia and you. Like, I think about all the work that so many of the members of our village have put into sharing what they know and inviting people on to podcasts for interviews to share their books. I mean, you inviting me on or having me on here is a being part of a village and uplifting others. I was hoping that my book could give back some way to the village so they could look into my mind and watch my process mm-hmm. and understand kind of what shapes me. And then, of course, identify with it as well, resonate.
Yeah.
I love that.
Same.
I think that's great. It really is. And Marshall, thank you very much for just being here today and bringing a unique perspective to the literary world.
Thank you. In our community.
Will you let our lovely listeners know where they can find you on the internet, where they can purchase your books, et cetera, et cetera? Promo yourself everywhere. Go.
Self-plug. You can find me, Marshall, WSL, at Witch of Southern Light, all one word, on TikTok, Threads, and Instagram. You can find my books, Cunning Words, Grimoire of Tales and Magic, The Red Mother, and excuse me, hiccup. The Diary of an American Witch, all on Amazon. I am self-published. Mm-hmm. So that means that they are print to order. The moment you order one, it is being printed automatically and mailed to you. I have the link in my bio for the books. If you are not in America,
I'll put them in the caption as well.
Thank you. Yeah, the link tree in my bio is fantastic. It has my podcast, Southern Bramble, a podcast of Crooked Ways with Austin. It has all of my books. Just so you know, all the links for the books are for the American Amazon. Make sure if you are in France or Spain or UK or Australia, use your local one. Otherwise, you're going to be waiting a long time for shipping. And check out the rest of the link tree. There's lots of free resources on there. There's stones. There's properties for herbs. There's magical days of the week, how to make tinctures. I just put together a really huge amalgamation of links to make sure that people had free access to a lot of information.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
Very useful. So thank you for that. I'm just going to put your link tree in the caption.
Yeah, link tree is great. It gives perfect. Everything.
We'll just put that in the caption.
That's great.
Because we're really hot. Like, hello.
That's what you offer to the community, y'all.
Honestly, like, I'm sorry that my amazing everything is just like the backbone of this community and the rest of you have got information or whatever. It's kind of ridiculous if you think about it. I'm really providing the most.
For all of your 65 years.
67. Please have 67. Respect. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I cut off 2 years. You deserved it. You've earned them.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, who joined us this week for Coffee Talk. We hope to see you next week for our regular episode. And you can check out our links to our website or our submission forms. Or you can shoot us an email at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com to tell us any ghost stories, witchy stories, tips, or topics that you think the community would love to hear.
And as always, if you enjoy Coffee and Cauldrons, please take a moment to review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening to us from. Or if you want to support us directly, please consider joining us on Patreon, where we share articles and have a Spell the Month box and a Discord full of fun events and people in community. Come join us. But yeah,
join us.
See you guys
next time. Join us. Bye.